in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, we're looking at a gift that I believe we can summarize, and it is still super helpful for us to appreciate the value of this gift. Verse number 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. That's the gift that we're focusing on tonight. And as we have studied throughout 1 Corinthians 12, what I wanted us to understand is that there have been organizations of the gifts where some people have said this is a serving gift, this is a speaking gift, and they have divided those gifts and plopped them from different passages into their bucket. And what I find is it just doesn't fit naturally that way. We really have to force some gifts into the speaking or serving bucket, or we have to ignore the full spectrum of what that gift offers. And so 2 weeks ago, I shared about the gift of wisdom, that word of wisdom, and how that word of wisdom is often lumped in the speaking bucket, but it's more than that. Actually, the first time we see that the Spirit of wisdom was given, it was given to an artisan who was working on the tabernacle during the times of Moses. That is not a speaking gift, that's a serving gift. Actually, that person was using their talents and gifts God had given them in such a way that God manifested tremendous wisdom through that person. And we see that over and over throughout Scripture. I believe that when we are in a healthy place using the gifts that God has given us, that we see in Romans chapter 12, that heartbeat, that motivation, what gets our blood pumping, we will see these gifts, these operations of God become evident within our church. In other words, when we as a church are functioning on the gift of prophecy, the gift of mercy, the gift of administration, the gift of giving, the gift of all these that were mentioned in Romans 12, the world will look on and say, that is an amazing organization, organism, if you will, that God, that is being done here at Anthony Baptist Church. And it will magnify the wisdom of God through us as individuals, but even us as a church. When we endeavor in those gifts and we have them in the proper priority, we will see that the gift of knowledge will become something that is operating through our church. I believe that because God is working in our church, there's a hunger for the truths of God's word. I enjoy getting the text messages from several of you, as I mentioned last week, where, Pastor Dan, I just read this. I just saw this. What do you think about this? I was talking with my family about this situation. And I enjoy seeing and hearing about those interactions and those studies that you personally are enjoying. I believe that that is an operation of God that's a product of a healthy church environment where we serving together recognize, boy, what God has for us in His Word is tremendous, it's valuable, and it makes a difference in our ministry. One of these operations that we see is in verse 9, the gift of faith that's offered or that is made manifest through the power of God. Now, the gift of faith is one that is extraordinary. I believe that some have cited to such an extreme that there are some, they say, who are given this gift of faith. Well, I believe this is one of those things that we all should covet and that we should all desire, that the Lord would strengthen our faith, that the Lord would help us to be able to have more confidence in Him. What is faith? Well, let's just look at another passage to kind of understand and appreciate. You can't talk about faith without going to Hebrews 11 and looking at some of the instruction that we have here in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, known as the Hall of Faith or the Great Faith chapter, looks at several lives of those throughout the Old Testament and their acts of faith. They lived a certain way because they knew what God said would happen. They lived a certain way because God was powerful enough. God was providential enough. God was willing to provide and promise-keeping enough to do these very things. We just talked all about that this morning with the life of Joseph. And these people lived by faith. Well, what does this faith mean? Verse number one, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That word substance is a unique word. It's the word that you may have heard if you've studied some different doctrines in Scripture. The hypostatic union of Jesus Christ is that Jesus Christ is 100% man and 100% God in one being, okay? And you say, whoa, that's a big word. That word, hypostasis, is really this word, substance. And you say, well, Pastor Dan, I'm blessed. Can we pray and go home now? I will explain it to you. The best way I can explain to you the idea of substance would be this. If I were to take a big old cup and I were to go to our creek and I just kind of gathered up a whole bunch of water in this cup and I set it down on the table and I let it set for just a while. At first, you would just see the water swirling in the cup, and it looks like it's just all water. But after it has set for a little bit, you would be able to see that there are some sediments in that water that settle to the bottom, and they begin to kind of accumulate, and you see there is this substance that's intact or contained within that water. Now, your life has those sediments of faith that are this evidence of, I believe in God. And it's contained within the life that you live. And you will notice those things. They become more noticeable in certain punctuated moments that you experience. I truly believe that the gift of faith is something God wants to work in each and every one of us. I really believe that. I don't believe that there are certain ones that only have the gift of faith and they're this testimony to us that we're, oh, look at how great their faith is. I think that God uses people in that way, and we ought to look at their lives and say, wow, what a testimony that is. But it's not that they have the gift of faith and you know what, I don't. I believe that God wants to work through every person. And he wants us to have that faith exercised to such an extent that he will replicate that powerful work in person after person after person. You can't talk about faith without going to the man of the modern times that just really defines that practice of faith. George Mueller. I've read portions of his biography. Fascinating man. You read about his biography. George Mueller worked in England. He was from Central Europe, but he worked in England to help orphans. He helped 10,000 orphans and never asked for one penny ever. Any need they had in their orphanages, it was something he prayed for and he saw God providentially provide. You would see story after story. Some of the most famous stories of Mueller's time would be that they would sit down, all the orphans, at one of the homes, and they would be sitting at the table, an empty table, no food before them. And he would bow his head, and all the children would bow their head, and all the staff would bow their head, and thank God for the food that he would provide. And the doorbell would ring, and there would be a baker who would say, Brother Mueller, I just woke up at 2 a.m. this morning, and I knew I needed to make bread for you. I don't know why it came over me that way. Never happened before, but I've got this truckload of bread, and the bread would come in. The milk truck would break down in front, and the milkman would say, I got to get my wagon to repairs, but it'd be easier if it was unloaded. Could you use the milk that's in my wagon? And they would come in, and the food would just be provided. There are records that say he raised 1 million pounds, that's English money, in the time of his ministry without ever asking for 1 cent. And you look at that and you say, that is amazing. It truly is. It's not amazing, and I believe when you read the biography of George Mueller, it's not amazing because of George Mueller. He would be the first to say, it's not amazing because of me. It is amazing because of what God is willing to do through someone who says, Lord, you called me to this work, and I will do this work, and it's your responsibility, Lord, to provide. I wonder if the reason why we don't see as much of the manifesting, energizing work of faith in God's people, I wonder if it could be to the fact that we're not busy in the work of God. We're not busy in the calling that God has in my life. There's a big difference when I'm doing my own thing and I say, Lord, why aren't you providing for me? When I'm saying, Lord, you called me to this, I'm doing this, but Lord, you've got to make this happen because I can't. There's a big difference between those two different things. One of my favorite verses, delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I love that verse because I look at that verse, and I've told you before, it looks like a blank check. God has just given me this blank check. It says, whatever your heart's desire is, will be done. That is truly a great verse. That's the essence of this gift of faith. But what you have to understand is that blank check will never be processed or honored or cashed when it's trying to be invested in something that satisfies my own desires, my own direction, my own choices. When I delight in God, his desires become my desires. And now when I say, Lord, I need you to work on this situation or on my behalf, he's working on something he delights in. Do you see the difference? And so for us as a ministry to enjoy that energizing work of God in our midst, it is that we ought to be so busy with the work that God has called us to that we are in essence saying, Lord, this is what you've told me to do. I'm facing an obstacle. I need you to provide through this situation. That is what you'll see that George Mueller prayed for over and over and over. George Mueller was a meticulous man. And according to some of the information I've read, he recorded 3,000 of his prayers. Over 1 million words of his prayers are recorded. And in that catalog of all the prayers that he had offered to God, you will see, I believe, over 50,000 answers to prayer. Are you getting that there is a trend here for the gift of faith to be activated within your life? It is this constant connection with God. I would wonder that secondly, the reason why we may not see that gift of faith actually working more often in our Christian circles is because we do not appreciate the value of prayer. We just don't appreciate the value of prayer. My friend, when we meet on Wednesday night, I provide a prayer sheet, and that prayer sheet helps us walk through the model of praying to God according to what he gave us in Matthew chapter 6. We first extol the grace and greatness and goodness of God, and then we ask the Lord to provide. What was the request that the Lord said? Give us this day our daily bread. What is he saying? He's saying, Lord, give me the resources necessary to do your work. That's what the prayer of provision is for. And when you and I come to pray, we don't pray for those provisions until we've prayed for a whole lot of other things, according to the model prayer that Jesus Christ gives. When you and I plug into what our relationship with God ought to look like, I believe it'll transform everything. I really, really do. Some people will say that people that have a gift of faith, well, they're just optimistic people. You know what? I don't like the optimistic thing because optimistic people are often categorized as pie in the sky, idealist. They don't have any touch of reality with them. You know, they just think whatever, you know, they wish for, you know, they wish upon a star and it's going to happen. That's what a lot of times optimistic people are presented or colored as. I'm often called an optimistic person, okay? And I'll tell you, I'm a realist. My reality is based on a God who can do something. Does that make sense? My reality is based on a fact that God has called Dan Patrick to Central Pennsylvania for a reason. God has called Anthony Baptist Church to still open the doors January 26, 2020, 177 years since it first opened its doors, for a reason. God has a purpose for us to be here. And it's not just so that he can say, well, there's another church that's kind of, you know, hobbling along in this area. No, he's called us to make a difference in this world. And I believe it with all my heart. And so my reality is not based on what I see. If my reality was based on what I saw, especially 5 years ago, we would see just a little country church in the hollows of Pennsylvania that you have to, you know, be lost to find, because it's 5 miles off the main road, right? I mean, just being honest. And no one just stumbles on our church and says, wow, I just walked in the door. If they just walked in the door, we'd question, what were they doing? You know, what are you doing? You know, walking in the pasture of the Waltz's farm, or what was going on? How do you just stumble into our church? If you were to look at the presentation of what God has here at Anthony Baptist Church, the reality would look like, well, what's the real accomplishment? But here you look at it, God has sent people from Anthony Baptist Church thousands of miles around this world to present the gospel to various places. We encourage missionaries all around the world. I've had two people come up to me today after the Stelzig's presentation and say, Pastor, I really feel burdened about helping them get the vehicle that they need. Pastor, if there is a way, I want to give toward that. And what I want to just say to you tonight is, for the month of February, if you want to give a little bit extra for the Stelzigs to help them get a snowmobile or the ATV or whatever they need, imagine if you try to do your life without a vehicle. They have a truck, but in the snow and all of that that they are living in, a truck is just not going to quite cut it in all that they have to do. You know what? That is, I talk to all our missionaries, and our missionaries say, you know what? Anthony Baptist Church stands out as one of the premier churches that encourages us on the field. Hello, this church in the hollows of Pennsylvania can make that much of a difference. I'm thrilled, folks. And it's not because of the reality of what you see. It's the reality of who we serve. And when we are plugged into that reality, it makes all the difference. There's a story of George Mueller that's told that he was on a boat. He was about in his 70s, if I remember the story right. And he had a speaking engagement in Quebec, I think. He might have had a speaking engagement there. And the boat was mired in dense fog coming off the coast of Newfoundland. Beautiful country Newfoundland is. Coming off the coast of Newfoundland, mired in fog, and George Mueller came up and tapped the captain of the ship, and he said, oh, captain, my captain, I have an engagement. It was Wednesday. I need to be in, I believe, Quebec, you know, by Saturday. And the captain looked at George Mueller and said, sir, I would love to do everything I can to try to help you make that engagement, but this fog, can you not see? I cannot move in this fog. And George Mueller said, well, the Lord has never told me to do something that he didn't make happen. So I believe he's going to make it happen. Let's go into a quiet room and let's pray. George Mueller and this captain went into this room. And the captain's account of George Mueller's prayer, sometimes we think that, man, George Mueller, I wonder what his prayer sounded like. Was it like the silver lips of heavenly language saying, oh, thou God, please, you know, was it something that was just amazing? The captain's account of George Mueller's prayer was, it was a prayer a child would offer. The prayer was so simple. Oh Lord, thou hast called me to this purpose. Will you release the fog in 5 minutes? It was like that simple. 2-3 sentences. When Mueller said amen, the captain was going to, you know, participate in the prayer time. And George Mueller just put his hand on the captain's shoulder. He said, sir, don't pray. Captain was kind of taken aback. What? Why not? He said, for two reasons. Number one, you don't really believe. But number two, God has already answered. Captain gets up, opens the door, fog is gone. And you look at that and you say, man, George Mueller. No, it's not George Mueller. It's that George Mueller had a reality in the person that he served, and that dominated his life. So the two factors I see with this gift of faith actually being energized in your life comes down to, are you busy about the work of God, or are you more invested in your desires in your life? When you are busy about the calling of God and you know for a fact this is what God has called me to do, and Lord, I need to see your handiwork in this moment. God's called some of you to be the best farmers that you can be, because you can reach the other farmers in this community like I can never. And there are times where the farmers are watching you as you go through a struggle, as you go through a financial setback, as you go through different things. They're watching you because they know you have faith in God. And where's that faith in God going to get you? And those are the moments where you're on your knees and saying, Lord, I know you've called me to this, and I want to serve you with all my heart and do my best for your honor and glory. And may my life be a testimony of your goodness and your greatness. God, will you provide mightily? Some of you have been called to a whole host of so many other things, but I question, and I ask you to question yourself, am I busy about what God has called me to do? Because in that moment, that's when God will work. The second thing is, do you have an appreciation for prayer? Are you a student of prayer? Oh, Pastor, prayer meeting's embarrassing. It doesn't have to be. Maybe for a while you say, I'm not ready to pray, but I want to learn. And so I'm going to ask. I want to pray with Pastor. I want to pray with one of the deacons. I want to pray with someone that's maybe been involved in leadership in our church for quite some time. And you come to them and say, I want to learn to pray. I'm not sure I'm ready to pray yet, but I'd like to, on prayer meetings, to just pray with you and just be a student of prayer. There's no pain in that. There's no embarrassment in that. I'd be thrilled to just say, I'm excited you want to be a student. I don't know why you want to learn with me, or, you know, as me as your teacher. I'm just going to show you what the Word of God says we do with prayer. But in the end, we encourage one another. Are you a student of prayer? Do you truly believe in the power of prayer? I'll tell you what, folks, I've been praying for years for things, and I see God answers time and time again. I've prayed for laborers to come and assist us. My wife and I were maxed out, couldn't hardly take on another thing, and God started bringing the help. I've asked the Lord to provide financially, and lo and behold, a timbering organization stumbles across our property line and says, wow, look at all these trees. They haven't been timbered in like 40 years. And then all of a sudden I get a contact and, hey, can we timber your property? And then $6,000 comes to our church just out of the blue. Why? Well, because of praying. Lord, provide. Provide. I believe that God wants to make that gift of faith so evident amongst his church, and he wants to do that in your life. My caution for you is, I don't want you to look at the testimony of George Mueller and say, well, George Mueller is one of a kind. If you believe God can only work selectively like that, then why do I spend 70 years on this earth doing something for the work of God? I don't believe God is that selective. I believe God wants to work, and he wants that gift of faith to be a testimony to the world, and he can do that through you. I hope that encourages you. The gift of faith is not a serving gift. It's usually lumped in the serving category. It's a gift of faith that works on all levels. It's a gift that encourages the body of believers to say, God is on the throne and he's powerful enough to do an amazing work through simpletons like you and me. Oh, praise the Lord for his amazing grace. Let's bow our head and pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the testimony of what your word shows you are desiring to do through those who are connected to the calling that you have on their life, and who find the essence of prayer to be a valuable connection and fellowship and just a walk with you, Lord. Oh God, I pray that you would work in our midst as we actively use our gifts in this ministry, that you would help the gift of wisdom to be manifest and the gift of knowledge and the gift of faith to be on display, that those, the working of your handiwork in our midst would be so evident. Oh Lord, I believe you desire to use Anthony Baptist Church and you desire to use other churches throughout our country and around the world who are completely prepared and ready to be used by you. Lord, I think of the disciples who are mending their nets and how that picture carries over in the epistles as we as a church are mending our nets, being prepared to make the great catch that you have for us to do, Lord, so that your name would be magnified, that your work would be center in our ministry. Oh God, would you use us from the world's perspective? What can people at Anthony Baptist Church accomplish? But Lord, it's not about what we see, it's about who we serve. And so tonight, Lord, I ask that you'd work mightily on our behalf, that you would work mightily in spite of us, and that you would work mightily through those of us who say, Lord, here am I, use me. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.